The Lord is my shepherd. I wonder, perhaps you're feeling a little bit of anxiety this morning. Maybe you feel like you have more bills than income. Anyone ever been in that position? Or there are some here, and I know this, that you've lost your job, and you're wondering if and when the market is ever going to pick up. Or maybe you've received some bad news from the doctor. Or maybe you have an important decision to make, and you're not sure about the right thing. What is the right thing to do? Or maybe there's someone who would say here too, in all honesty, you know, it's been a little while. It's been a little while since I have truly worshiped and praised the Lord. It's been a little while since I have known His peace. If so, then that it is my prayer that the Lord would encourage you this morning, encourage your hearts this morning. You know, we concluded our series in 2 Samuel last week, but I thought we might take one more week here then to contemplate and prayerfully meditate and pray back to the Lord, one of the Psalms of David, to meditate on the wonderful truths about the Lord that we are told in David's Psalm 23. I think Psalm 23 is probably clearly one of the best known passages in all of Scripture, isn't it? Probably many of us learned it. We learned it by heart when we were young children even. And in this psalm, we see a beautiful picture here of who the Lord is. That we first see Him as our shepherd. Now, of course, in the day when David wrote that, that was a powerful image, a powerful metaphor there. But when we think about what the significance of that is, it retains its power for us then today as well. What does it mean? It means that the Lord is a gracious provider for us, for our needs, that He guides us in the paths and the direction that we should go, that He protects us from enemies, from the predators of our souls. But He's also, though, pictured as a gracious host. I mean, you know someone that you love being invited over to that person's house because they are such a wonderful host. You know that everything is going to be just right. They're going to prepare a meal and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time there. By the way, if I ever invite you over to my house, don't come, okay? Because I won't even put it in the oven. I even actually have a separate little pizza maker thing, okay? I'll just throw a frozen pizza on the thing. That is my gracious hosting, okay? So I have not been given the spiritual gift of hospitality, of hosting, okay? But some of you here have. And I've been to your home. And I know what a joy it is to come and to be a guest in your home. And that's the other picture we see in this psalm. The Lord as the shepherd of our souls, but also the Lord as that gracious host who prepares a meal for us and invites us to come and dwell in His home. Beautiful pictures there of our Lord in this. And I pray that you'll find encouragement in that. I want you to know too, this is going to be a little different from our usual sermon as well, where I stand up here and talk and you all sit there and listen. At least I hope you're listening. I pray this is going to be an opportunity, though, with what we're saying, for to meditate upon these truths here. And when I say meditate, I don't mean getting into a yoga position, but just thinking over and chewing over these thoughts and these concepts. I want you to actively pray through this and say, Lord, speak to me through this. The Holy Spirit knows each and every one of us here individually. He knows everything about us. He knows what you need to hear today. Would you invite the Lord then to speak to you today through this? And I pray then too that you will also then, you will have an opportunity at different points to pray back these truths to the Lord. Just brief prayers. Be thinking about that. Let's take a moment then and ask the Lord then again to say, Father, we do ask you, speak to our hearts here today. Lord, you know the needs here. You know that someone needs some encouragement. Someone else needs some direction. Another person needs some provision. Another person, Lord, is being assaulted by the enemies of her soul and needs your protection. So, Father, speak to us today individually. Just as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you are our shepherd of the church, but you are my shepherd, each one of us here. Speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your Bibles turn to Psalm 23. I'm going to read it through and then focus on the key concepts that are found in here. David is writing, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd." Who is this Lord? Those all capital letters there in your Bible. This tells us that this is the translation of God's personal name, Yahweh, which means I am. The great I am, the Almighty God, the Eternal One, the God who knows all things, the God who has all power. You know, here is a question that I don't think can be asked too often. I have to ask myself this question again and again. That is this question: is your God too small? Is your God too small? Now, our God is not too small, is He? But sometimes our conception of who God is too small. If you think you have a handle on who God is and the greatness of God, if you think you understand how great God is, you're wrong. Because your God is still too small. Our minds can't even take it in, the greatness of God, can we? You know, sometimes I'm not sure if it's encouraging or a little discouraging, the fact that God knows all things. You ever think about that? That God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. You could pick a random date in your life and God could tell you everything that was going on at that moment in your life, every thought that you had. God knows everything you've ever thought. He knows everything you ever will think. He knows everything you've done, everything you ever will do. God knows all. Now, there's a part of it that can be a little scary, isn't that? But isn't there great news, though, in knowing that the God who knows all is the God who nevertheless unconditionally loves you and accepts you? And the fact that He knows all things means you don't have to waste a lot of time. I don't have to waste a lot of time trying to explain things to God because He already knows. He knows all. He has all power. There is nothing that is impossible to Him. Is the Lord, the God of the Scriptures, is that your Lord, or is your God too small? Yahweh, the Sovereign Almighty, He, the Lord, is my shepherd. David says, He is my shepherd. Now, that is an image in Scripture, oftentimes where the Lord is presented as a shepherd over the people. And oftentimes it's in terms of Him being a shepherd over His people. And he is that. But David focuses for a moment here on saying that he is my shepherd. My personal shepherd. David, of course, was known as the shepherd king. And kings in the ancient world, they were sometimes referred to as shepherds over their people. So here is this imagery of a king as being a shepherd over his people. But David says, who's known as the shepherd king, says, The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Here this shepherd king acknowledges that his shepherd is the Lord. What was a shepherd? What did a shepherd do? Well, the truth is simply this. I'm sure you've all heard messages on this before. You've read things on this before. But you know, sheep are a very, very, very dependent lot of animals, aren't they? They were utterly dependent on their shepherds for everything. They were utterly dependent on their shepherd to provide for their needs, to give them direction, the proper places for them to go, and to protect them. If I might mix metaphors for a moment, sheep are sitting ducks out in the world with predators. They need protection. They need guidance. And they need someone to watch out for them to provide for their needs. Do you think it's a coincidence or a mistake that God often refers to himself in the scriptures as being a shepherd over his people? So I wonder, is the Lord your shepherd? So yeah, I know. I've read this before. I know this. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. Really? Is the Lord your shepherd right now, this morning? You know, there's a classic devotional book on Psalm 23 that was written by an author named Philip Keller called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Has anyone here ever read that book? Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Very good book. I highly recommend it to you there. Who is Philip Keller? Well, he was a shepherd. He was a modern-day shepherd. He had a ranch with sheep. And he tended to that ranch for many years. And one day, he decided, well, I think the Spirit moved in him, and he wrote a book about his experiences reflecting on Psalm 23 from the perspective of a shepherd to give some insight into the significance of this psalm. The Lord is our shepherd. But one of the things that he said that really has had a profound impact on me is this, and I need to reflect on this often. It's the fact that many of us, we sometimes belong, the Lord is our shepherd, but we willingly put ourselves into the care, if you want to call it that, or the control of another shepherd. A shepherd who is not the Lord, who doesn't care for us as the Lord does. He's talking about that, and he talks about his experience there with he had his sheep in his ranch, and that next to him there was another owner who had his sheep there, and that this owner didn't take very good care of his sheep. He didn't care properly for them. And he's reflecting on that and sees a spiritual parallel to that. And I wonder if anyone here can perhaps identify with this. But he says, in memory, I can still see one of the sheep ranches in our district, which was operated by a tenant sheepman. He ought never to have been allowed to keep sheep. His stock were always thin, weak, and riddled with disease or parasites. Again and again, they would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the green, lush pastures which my flock enjoyed. Had they been able to speak, I am sure they would have said, "Oh, to be set free from this awful owner." This is a picture which has never left my memory. It is a picture of pathetic people the world over who have not known what it is to belong to the Good Shepherd, who suffer instead under sin and Satan. I wonder, is the Lord your shepherd? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he is. But are you putting your trust in him daily as your shepherd? Or perhaps are you a wandering sheep this morning? A wandering sheep who is suffering under sin and Satan. You need to come back. To come back this morning to the Lord's green pastures and still waters. Does your soul need some refreshment, some restoration? Does your spirit need some encouragement? I pray you'll find that then today. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord our shepherd. As our shepherd, what does He do? First, He provides. The Lord provides. David says, I shall not be in want. Want is lack. It's a necessity that we don't have to be in want. And David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack anything I need. Notice it doesn't say there, the Lord is my shepherd, He will give me everything I want. It says, I have no want. I have no need. Whatever we need, God will give that. We will not lack what we need. I wonder, do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, there are certain truths about the Scriptures that we'd say, oh yes, I believe that, I know that, but it's one thing to acknowledge and say, yeah, I think that's true, but in your heart of hearts, do you believe that? Or if you're like me, perhaps you've wasted a lot of time. I hate to think of the amount of time and energy in life I've wasted on this. Wasted a lot of time determining what my needs were and telling God about them. Right? Telling God, God, this is what I need. Instead of trusting His provision to meet my needs in His way, in His time. God says we will not lack what we need. Do you believe that? Oftentimes, though, we're tempted to fret and to worry about it, though, don't we? We may ask questions, and sometimes they're good questions. We might ask questions like, how am I going to pay this bill, Lord? Or we might say, I'm lonely, Lord. I say, I'm not sure if I have what it takes to do what You're calling me to do. I'm not sure if I can be the good husband and father You want me to be, if I can be the good wife and mother that You want me to be. I'm not sure I have what I need, Lord. If so, then perhaps you need to come away for a moment and rest. Come away, He says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And just as a shepherd would lead his sheep to fresh grass for feeding, so too the Lord leads us. He leads His people to a place of nourishment and rest for your soul. It's a beautiful picture here of God's good care and that we must learn to be content in God's care. And it's interesting, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller says this. He notices, he says, before sheep will lie down and be at rest, there must be four things there that are happening in order for sheep to feel comfortable enough to lie down and rest. It says, first of all, there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear. Sheep are very fearful animals. And so they need to be free from fear if they're to rest. They also said there must be a freedom from tension among this. This is something I find interesting. He says, you know, that sheep, they have a pecking order, if you will. They like to dominate one another. It seems like they're at war with one another. Is this imagery of people as sheep starting to make more sense here now? But the sheep, though, they're fearful animals, and they tend to, if you will, be at odds with one another, trying to establish dominance over one another. And while that's happening, they cannot lie down and rest. They also need to be free of aggravations of pests and bugs that are assaulting them. And also they need to be fed. If they're hungry, they can't lie down and rest. So the sheep can be fearful of predators. They can be tense with one another as they fight and jockey for position in their pecking order. They can be aggravated by pests. And they need to have their hungry stomachs filled. Sounds a lot like people, doesn't it? But he says something, you know, interestingly enough, just the mere presence of the shepherd can make all of the difference for them. Just the fact when they see the shepherd, they're not afraid of the predators then. They stop fighting with one another. And they're able to lie down in green pastures and be content. So there's an imagery of rest and nourishment coming away and coming to that place where God is feeding our souls, giving us Himself, His Word, His hope that's found in there, and just His presence that encourages us to be free from fear, to be free from tension and aggravations. So the Lord is our shepherd who provides. He will not be in want. He will lead us into the green pastures, and He also leads us beside quiet waters. The sheep need food for their stomachs, and they need water to refresh their bodies. Sheep are fearful of loud, rushing waters, so they need calm, still waters. And we need the fresh water of God's Word and Spirit, don't we? We need that fresh water of His truth that refreshes weary souls. As the ancient church father Augustine said, and he says, what God has made us for Himself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. We need the fresh water of God's presence in our lives. He also says then that He restores our soul. God provides for us, our shepherd, in restoring our souls. When we're resting in God's care, our souls are refreshed and restored. I need this constantly. Anyone else here? I need that place of refreshment and renewal. I can always tell when it's time for what I call a little trip to the oasis, when I find myself getting really tense over things, and especially sometimes just dumb little things, like making a mistake in the bulletin. Barb, don't tell that story to anyone here today about how tense I got over a bulletin mistake, okay? Stupid things like that that tells me it's time to come away and rest. Receive some refreshment for my soul. I'd like us just to take a moment here and let's give some thanks to the Lord here. If maybe there'd going to be just one or two people, you feel the Spirit moves you to here, just to give some public expression of thanks here this morning. Say, Lord, thank You for providing. And You fill that in for us. Let's all take a moment then. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord for how God has provided for us. And maybe there'd want to be one or two that give a public expression of that. Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for providing.
Lord, thank You for providing staff and this job.
Amen. Lord, You've provided a job that was needed. Amen, Lord. Thank You for providing a good medical report that there was a concern here for that. And our sister Sherry received good news then about that this week. Thank You, Lord, for that. Would there be one more? Amen, Lord. We thank You for opportunities to serve You. Thank You, Lord, for providing. You know our needs and You have met them. But Lord, there are needs here. As long as we are alive, we will continue to have needs. And let's pray then now to the Lord who is our shepherd, and say, Lord, please provide for me in this. Would You lift up in your hearts, in the quietness of your heart now, lift up your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, please provide for me in this. Lord, there are people that are out of work. There are people facing financial struggles. There are lonely people, Lord. There are a host of needs. but you will provide. We shall not be in want. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name that you would provide, thanking you that you are our Lord and Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, we pray. Amen. The Lord is our provider, as our shepherd, but he guides us as well. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is a holy and righteous God, and he will guide and direct us in the way that we should go in life for the sake of his name, for his holy reputation. You know why God wants you and me to be more like Jesus Christ? Because he loves you. Because holiness is blessedness. But you know another reason? Because his name is on the line for his name's sake. It's his reputation. God's reputation. You know, if I was God, I never would have done it this way. But I gave up arguing with him a long time about how I would have done things if I was God. I used to do that all the time. You know, God, I wouldn't do it that way. God showed me that he knows better than I do. But I don't know, but you know, I always thought, boy, I wouldn't attach my reputation to me, to us, to people. But here he does. He attaches his reputation to you. And he guides you and directs you in paths of righteousness, the right way to live, in a way that's honoring and pleasing to him, for his name's sake. He's putting his good name on the line for you. How we live is a reflection on him. And it's his desire to make us more like Christ. And he will constantly keep us moving in that direction of being more like Christ. You know, that's what he is most concerned about with you and me. It's been said before, God is not so much concerned with our happiness as he is our holiness. The good news is, with holiness, there does come that peace and joy that we learn those things. But God isn't interested in making us happy, in the sense of just giving us whatever we want. He's interested in making us holy. And if that is your desire to please him in that way, he will keep you constantly moving in that. He will guide you into right paths. Fact is, like sheep, though, we can be stubborn. We can refuse to follow his leading. We can choose to stay in the pastures of our own making. The prophet Isaiah tells us, he says that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. It's true, isn't it? As lost sinners, we had gone astray. We had turned away. And God has graciously saved us by faith in Christ. But even as his people, we still tend to stray from him, don't we? And go our own way. But God promises that he will lead you in paths of righteousness. He will show you his will and his desire, his purpose for you. Maybe you have an important decision to make. I'd ask yourself, well, what would God have me to do that's honoring to him? How might I most honor him through this? Not sure about what's right. God will show you that. As he leads us in paths of righteousness, it becomes apparent to us, though, that we've not always taken the more righteous paths, have we? That we need forgiveness and cleansing. And I wonder if we might take a moment here then to pray then to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me, and Lord, help me. I'm struggling with something. Lord, help me. I am struggling with this. Now, at this point, you wonder, is he going to do that public thing where maybe one or two people? And you know what? I'll put the challenge out there. Say, Lord, forgive me for this. If you want to confess your neighbor's sin for them, you go right ahead. No, but if you want to confess that sin publicly, your scripture tells us to confess our sins to one another, don't they? Someone would want to do that. Maybe there's one or two people that want to say right now, Lord, forgive me for this. Help me with this. Let's pray. Lord, forgiveness for pride and selfishness, self-centeredness. Lord, a help for forgiveness for a parent who is wounded, and a cry for help to be able to better love them with your love. Lord, forgive us pride, selfishness, envy, greed, lust, dishonesty. Lord, you know these things. Forgive us for these things. Thank you, Lord, that you cleanse us by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. The Lord, our shepherd, he provides for us. He guides for us. He protects us. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is a valley of deep darkness. Has anyone ever been in the valley of deep darkness? It's a fearful place. Maybe it's a darkness of fear, a darkness of depression, a darkness of loneliness. Maybe it's a season of want. Now, wait a minute, you said a season. I thought it says that if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. That's true, isn't it? But sometimes we go through seasons of lack or seasons of need, don't we? As God is working in us and through us. And sometimes that can be a fearful experience. It's a valley of the shadow of death, a valley of deep darkness, of despair, fear. But we need not worry and fret then, because God, you are with us. You are with us. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What was the rod? The rod the shepherd used. It was a club to chase away the predators, to attack and kill the predators who would attack the sheep. The rod, the staff. What is the staff? We've all seen it, the staff with the curl on the end. That's to guide and direct those wandering sheep, grab them around the neck and bring them back in. You know, I didn't mention it in the elders' meeting this morning, but I'm thinking that maybe we should purchase some staffs here that we'll use them. And if someone hasn't been to church, we'll say, oh, 4 weeks in a row, we'll show up at their house, you know, like this, and open the door, and we'll grab them around the neck with that and bring them back. Or what do you think? Is that a good idea? Probably not. I haven't given it that much thought. So probably need to think about that one a little more. But that's what the shepherd would do, though. He would bring in the straying sheep again. Sometimes I'm not sure which I'm more afraid of, the enemies outside of my soul or the enemy right within my soul. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then our shepherd then too, he provides, he guides and protects. But he also serves as a gracious host. Our God is a shepherd and he is a gracious host, who prepares a table before us. And here is the imagery shifting then to that gracious host. And it's interesting in the time then that sometimes a king might come under the protection of a greater or more powerful king. They would make a covenant or an agreement, an arrangement, where this lesser king would become subject to the greater king. They would come together and they would share this meal together. It was a covenant meal. And this greater king would tell the lesser king that he was now under his dominion and that he would offer that lesser king protection from his enemies. And this is the imagery here when it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right here in the presence of my enemies, you are here, protecting me, watching over me, guiding me, playing host to me. So this greater king protects us then Sometimes we need deliverance too, don't we, from our enemies? The enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I wonder if we might pray here too for deliverance. I don't know what you need deliverance from this morning. But let's pray here now. Maybe there'd be one or two persons that would like to pray. Lord, deliver me from. I'm fearful of this. I'm concerned about that. Lord, deliver me. Let's pray. Lord, deliver us from fear. Deliver us from doubt. Deliver us from discouragement. We know, Lord, that we have the promise that we will never be subjected to temptation more than we can bear, that you will protect us from the enemy, that you are with us, that you prepare this table in the presence of our enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, you graciously invite us to come and share this covenant meal with you. Deliver us this morning, Lord, we pray. You know our needs. Deliver us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. The Lord, our shepherd, he provides, he guides, he protects, but he blesses. He says, you anoint my head with oil. This is a symbol of blessing and honor that God has poured out on you, eternal blessing in Jesus Christ. And that our God is good. He is a good God. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me. That God loves you with an unconditional, everlasting love. Do you believe that? Do you believe that goodness and love will follow me? I know that we have difficult circumstances, painful things, but God is faithful in those things. And he has given us ultimate hope and deliverance in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then that wonderful verse, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God will never leave you or forsake you. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we know that there is meaning in this, that we have hope, you have hope, the hope of heaven. Whatever we may face, whatever you may be called to deal with in this life, God has dealt with us for eternity in heaven, the hope of heaven. Let's give thanks then this morning for the Lord, shall we? Once again, to thank Him and praise Him that He is our shepherd, that He is our host, that He provides for us, that He guides us, that He protects us, and that He blesses us, now and forever. Let's take a moment. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. They will close us in song here. But I'd like us to think for just a moment then, how can I thank the Lord this morning? How can I thank the Lord this morning? Let's pray and say, thank you, Lord. Maybe two or three would like to give thanks this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Amen. One more. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is truth, Lord. We stand on that truth, and you are a faithful God. Thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd, that you lead us into green pastures and beside still waters. Whatever valley of darkness we may be facing, you are with us. we will dwell in your house forever. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.